Good morning. Well, let's get into the lesson. If you would, open up in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. Our lesson today is going to be from Deuteronomy 11 and chapter 12. Appreciate the scripture reading that was done earlier. We're going to be looking at just various lessons. Nothing pinpoint lesson, you know, taken from that, but there's a number of lessons. There's a number of sermons that could be taken from Deuteronomy 11 and 12. One of them starts out, and this was one of our scripture reading verses today. It starts out, "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always." We are told in this one verse, a good lesson is to love and obey God. That is a theme that goes from cover to cover in the Bible. If we can't do that, then we can't do any of the other commandments that we are told to and given charge to. We have to love and obey God. In verses 2 through 7, God is telling the Israelites, "I'm speaking to you." You know, what's that line in that movie? You know, "You talking to me?" Yes. Yes, I am talking to you. God is talking to the Israelites about what he has done for them. I'm not talking to your children. I'm not talking to people that have not lived through this. I'm talking to you. You that have gone through this and that know firsthand all the great things that the Lord God has done. They have witnessed the plagues in Egypt. They have witnessed being taken out of bondage in Egypt. They have witnessed the parting of the Red Sea. They have witnessed any single one of those things would have been, should have been enough. But God is saying, "I'm talking to you. I want you to realize the things that God has done in your life. Not about it. Don't worry about everybody else. You." And it starts out in verse 2. "Know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, his signs and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all his land, what he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day, what he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel." He goes on to say, "But your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord which he did." If we translate this to our life, every one of us would have a list like that, of the things that God has done for us, how he's changed our lives. And God wants that. God wanted the Israelites to acknowledge and be aware of what he's done for them, but he wants that by it from us. He wants us to acknowledge. He wants us to acknowledge what he's done for us, how he's saved us, how he's corrected and chastised us. In verse 8, he wants us to keep every commandment. Every commandment. Not the ones that are easy, not the ones that we want to keep. Talking to the Harpers, they're making the rounds through Las Vegas eating. They've been to the fun places, the M&M factory and all that stuff. I'm sure they've probably been to some of the buffets that we've got here in town. Christianity, it's not a buffet Christianity where we give a super heaping helping, come back for more of some things, and we shy away from others. We're told to keep every commandment. And in verse 8, it says, God says, therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess. And skipping down to verse 13, earnestly obey my commandments. I love how God tells the Israelites, and he tells us, to obey his commands. Why? To be mean? To be just meanies? So you won't have any fun? The idea is for your benefit. When he tells us to do something, it is always for our benefit. It's not to be mean. It's not to be a killjoy. It's to benefit us. It was to benefit the Israelites. Keep my commandments so this will happen. Even if that didn't happen, just the fact that God said to do it is enough. In verse 16, we are warned to take heed. That's a lesson for us also. It was a lesson for them, a lesson for us. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Be careful. Take heed means to be careful, to be observant, to be watchful. Make sure that you don't stray off the path. Make sure that you don't turn aside and serve other gods. There are other gods around us. We have no shortage of, if we would want to say, worshiping other gods. In any direction we turn, and God does not want that. Because if we turn from that straight and narrow path, we are acknowledging other gods, whether we think we are or not. And then here's the result if we do. If you don't, it's going to anger God. If you don't take heed. And it says, verse 17, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you. Again, another very direct and pointed. I'm talking to you, and it's my anger is going to be directed to you if you don't stay on that path. Verse 19, we're told to teach our children. We're told to obey the commands, but also we need to teach others about it. We need to teach our children. What good, you know, God says, I'm talking to you, but you know what? You need to teach your children. You pass it on to them. And in verse 19 says, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. It's not limiting to just those specific times. Basically, you live it. Live it with your children. Every opportunity you get, teach them. Verse 20, we need to make sure our beliefs are seen. If we don't share that belief, if we don't let that belief be seen and just keep it to ourselves, in fact, that's letting our belief be seen, that's a form of teaching. You know, we can talk, we can teach verbally, but we can teach through our actions also. And in here in verse 20, it says, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, should we go out and take magic markers and write scriptures on our door to where people walking by and say, what's all that writing on there? You know, oh, it's scripture. That's not the point. Although the Jews did post on the outside of their homes, they posted mezuzahs, the mezuzah, scriptures on the outside of their house. More of a reminder to them that every time you go in and out, you're seeing it. What a reminder to them. But also, it's a proclamation to everybody else. I love and believe in my God. It's not so much the physical act of something on your house, but can people identify these people are Christians? Can people identify by the way you conduct yourself, by the way you are as a neighbor, by the way the children play, by the language that is coming out of the people that live in that house? Are you Christians? Are you letting your belief be seen? I've told you before a little thing that I do, and it's for me. When I meet somebody, especially like at work or at the grocery store, a checker, something like that, I try to work in as soon as possible something to the fact, not that I'm a Christian, not that. How was your weekend? You know, oh, you did this, you did that, blah, blah, blah. You know, what did you do? Oh, you know, did this with my family. Sunday we went to church, blah, 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 blah. To let them know. And then, they usually say, what church did you go to? Tell them. But to let them know, it puts pressure on me. It puts pressure on me to always try to live up to it. Because I get it out there early. Now they know I've got to match up to it. I can't let temper slip. I can't let this slip. I can't let, you know, I've got to, it puts pressure on me. God wants us to let our beliefs be seen. Not just teach our children verbally, although that's important, but to live it. The best lesson people can have is a lesson that they've witnessed, not heard. Going to forget the words, but the lessons that they have witnessed and seen. Verse 32, obey all God's commands, and you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today. Again, that concept of obeying all. Not pick and choose. Not the ones that are easy. The ones that are convenient. The ones that suit your schedule. The ones that fit in to what the Israelites, it didn't cramp their style. And the lesson is for us also. In chapter 12, verses 2 through 4, we're told not to be influenced by the religions around you. Now, even though we can learn an awful lot and apply an awful lot, this is not telling us today to go start burning down other church buildings. That's not what it's saying. It doesn't mean for us to go on a rampage and start breaking out the windows of other religious groups around. No. But God is serious. He doesn't want people to be influenced. He didn't want the Israelites. and he doesn't want us to be influenced by the other religions around him. Here in Deuteronomy, God tells him, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess served their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. Don't blend and accommodate those other religions into yours. You are called out. You are called to be different. In verses 5 and 8, God warns us and warns them to do it His way, not your way. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses. In verse 8, you shall not at all do as we are doing here today. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. Isn't that one of the themes that we see, a thread going through the whole Bible? God condemning the people that try to do things that they want to do. They see things right in their eyes, not the way God wants it done. And it's interesting. I noticed just an observation of mine that in these two chapters, it starts out in verse 1 of chapter 11, and it ends in chapter 12 basically the same way. There's bookends here to do things God's way, to remember God's word. And here we see in chapter 32, don't add to or take away anything from God's word. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. That's in a nutshell what God wants us to do. These are just some lessons that I, as you read it this week, and that's your homework. Read Deuteronomy 11 and 12. You might even find some other lessons. These are the ones that kind of jumped out at me. The lesson is yours. Some of the main points that I've gathered from this is to love God and Him only. This was a message to the Israelites. It is a message to us. To keep His commandments, all of them. Not the easy ones, not the ones that are convenient, but all of the commandments. To teach them. Not just learn it ourselves, but to teach others. That's what we're here for today, is to teach each other, encourage each other, and don't alter them. Don't come up with, you know, God doesn't need our help to make His word better or corrected or, you know, our little spice to it. God's word is good enough. The lesson is yours. Hopefully you got something out of it. As I was reading that, literally some of those things just jumped off the page at me. And I wanted to share them with you. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, we had a baptism here recently, a week ago Friday. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through repenting of sin in your life, anything that is keeping you from serving God properly. If you need prayers of the congregation, our prayers go with the Harper family as they're adopting their little precious purring kitten back there. They're waiting for the final adoption papers to go through, and we wish them well and as they go back to Iowa. Anything that we can do for you, please come forward, let your need be known.